Are you like me? Are you tired of wearing uncomfortable dress shirts, especially when they bunch up under your sweater? You got to check out Collars & Co., the makers of the dress collar polo. So the shirts, they're four-way stretch, they're buttery soft polos, but with firm dress collars on them. So they give you the dress shirt look, but an extremely comfortable polo feel. You can wear them under your sweater, your blazer, or by themselves. They're great for the office. They're great for the golf course. They're great for a night out. Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN wears these. They look sharp. You don't want to wear shirts that you bought at a sporting goods store to work or out on a date. These shirts are exploding. The brand has gone viral on social media. They received a $1 million investment from Mark Cuban and Peter Jones on Shark Tank. It's because of those collars. They don't flop down. They don't spread out like a 1970s disco collar. They stay firm. They stay sharp all day. They're one less thing to worry about. If you're looking for a performance dress shirt or a polo that looks great all day, you got to check out collarsandco.com. Use the promo code VANITY for 15% off any purchase of $100 or more. Again, that's collarsandco, C-O-L-L-A-R-S, and co.com. Use the promo code VANITY, 15% off purchase of $100 or more. Oh yeah, four pre-rolls. Roman T Support. What's that? It's a unique blend of supplements that help support healthy levels of testosterone. Go to GetRoman.com/JRVP today to get it. That's GetRoman.com/JRVP. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of Roman Tea Support. Learn more about that later. Also learn a little bit more about Manscaped. It's Father's Day. The Performance Package 4.0 is no dad's joke. You know, treat the dad in your life. And yourself. Join the 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. Black Buffalo, everything you love about dipping without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. They even have nicotine-free options called Zero. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you will find. Code JRVP for 25% off your first order at blackbuffalo.com. And finally, but we love Athletic Greens. You know, we put them last, we put them first, doesn't matter. We love them. They're going to give you their free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP for a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. That's athleticgreens.com/JRVP. I'm earning my money. I'm talking news today, including a bad time to get a mohawk, poop on a plane, and a very conscientious elephant, all coming up in episode 161 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
You know, back when I was starting out, some people wanted to put me in jail, even kill me, because of the way I was moving.
Let's hear it. I mean, that was some baritone stylings of Anthony. I like that.
You know, back when I was starting out, some people wanted to put me in jail, even kill me, because of the way I was moving. I've been, Liz and I say that maybe 10, 20 times a day, every day for the past couple of weeks. It's a clip from the new Elvis movie coming out. And Liz is like obsessed. Yeah. We're like, we're going to see it opening day. I hear it's terrible, but I like, who's the director of that?
Luke Baz Besson. Luhrmann.
Baz Luhrmann, yes. Baz Luhrmann. His Baz Luhrmann bad is still great. So I'm definitely going to go see that. But Austin Butler, the guy who like plays Elvis, I saw that she showed me that clip. We watch it all the time. And he just like, people think he's not Elvis. I think he like shouldn't be an actor. Like something about his, like every time I see clips or anything, it's just like, you should, look, he just showed up. Like he's the stand-in and they decided to film that. I cannot wait to see it. Tom Hanks in prosthetics, way too many prosthetics. Yeah. I'm pumped. I'm pumped for it in a couple of weeks.
I would have guessed, bet anything, you know, after you made that impression that it was actually like a racist impression somehow. But no, it's not.
No,
it's
not at all. Just a Southerner, just Elvis. Because the way I was moving. How was everybody?
I've heard Tom Hanks is I mean, he's not getting like good notices for this, Tom Hanks.
Yeah,
this is sad because this is how COVID started. You know, that he started COVID because of this movie. I don't know if you
remember. He was the outbreak monkey. He was patient zero back when all those NBA players died. I'll never forget. Never forget the sacrifices Tom Hanks made. How was everybody's weekend? Good?
It's good. You know,
yeah. Erica,
this is a late night. This is a late night JRVP taping because I was at a work event, a work social event, a mixer.
This is your work.
Oh, that's
this is your
what
job.
It was? A mixer?
Yeah. They bring together all the quote unquote talent of the company into the city of Los Angeles, and they have us for a couple days and, you know, have speakers and things like that. And they had like a little pre summit mixer we were all at, and so I was, you know, pressing the flesh there. Did a bad job of it. I'm bad in those settings.
Well, I like how you just bailed on yourself halfway. Like, you didn't have to tell that story. No one asked you why are we late. Nobody knows listening to the podcast. But you're like, I gotta talk this up, and then just shit on yourself. What was the best and what was the worst interaction you had at the mixer?
No, it was all normal. I don't know. I always like to see Steve Smith. He's a delightful personality, I would say, at the NFL Network. I'm not going to say my worst one, although I do know, I did have one. You know, there's a small cold war brewing between me and another person at the network. And
can I guess?
Sure.
OJ. Was it OJ? Yeah.
I don't know. It was not OJ. You threw me off. You asked me how my weekend was, and so I just started going into it. You know,
today's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Today's Tuesday. I asked how your weekend was. Erica, how was Pride?
It was really fun. It was awesome. It was kind of weird, like marching with the NFL, since my last day was Friday, but it was super fun. Like, Colleen came up. There was a bunch of us there. The HR lady kept saying that like we needed to stop drinking in the streets because we were wearing the NFL logo and stuff. And so we got talked to a bunch, and I was like drunk, and I was like, "What are you gonna do? Fire me?" Which like,
I like
wasn't
that the
maybe
NFL,
my best.
I like the NFL fired you on Friday, and we're like, "Can you hang around and be gay for us over the weekend?" Can you
they
just
did not
be?
Fire me.
Can you just be our lesbian? Like, how many people from the NFL marched?
There were a lot. There was probably like 50, but I think they were like mostly all straight. They were like a
yeah,
couple.
They were allies. Yeah. They weren't in the trenches like Erica.
Yeah. So much so that the main NFL account posted a photo of me like marching. And they're like, our NFL family's out. I got a crazy DM, I think a while ago, that I told you guys that basically was just like, you're a stupid dyke. Like, thank God, like, you left ATN. They sent me another message at Pride saying like, don't you find it funny that the company let you go during Pride Month? Like, you homo, and like was saying really like nasty things. And someone looked into them, and they actually like work at the Navy, and they posted on their Facebook one of those love is love things surrounding their profile last year. And this person doesn't follow me. So they like DM'd me and then came back to DM me again to be like, you stupid dyke, you got fired from the NFL during Pride Month. I was like, you must be obsessed with me.
That was Erica Temposi engaging with her haters.
I didn't answer.
I had there was a Pride parade right outside my place for like all day Sunday.
Oh, that's what I was
pretty,
at.
Yeah. You were at the Hollywood or West Hollywood?
Yeah, the Hollywood one.
Okay, yeah, this was Hollywood, and loud as could be. Lots of different music playing at top volume. I got to walk Rummy down it toward the end of the night, and he got to like walk down the street. He was confused as to what was going on. But I woke up early in the morning on Sunday to a Rummy poop masterpiece in the bedroom. He hadn't pooped in my place in months. And Saturday night, I went out to do a show. Liz was working. She was like shooting at some Pride event during the day. And I went out. Before I left, I fed Rummy his like sardine treat, his sardine and carrots he gets at night. And then Liz came home and fed him the same thing, not knowing I had just done that for him. And that blew up his little tummy all over my floor. And then I had to walk him around like the parade, all these people, while he just like just diarrheaed all over the sidewalk. And I had to like kind of smear it around. It was super gross. And I was...
Wait, what do you do in that situation if a dog diarrheas on sidewalk
during
a parade?
You can't. You just have to leave it.
You can, I mean, around me, I just like, I just kind of, I put the bag on my hand and then I just kind of like wipe it and get as much as I can up, you know. It'll be like with the sun and everything, it'll be gone a little bit. I do my best, but there's no real grass for him to do it. And Erica, I can't control where he, poops.
But you should do something. It's like the, they've been shitting on our lawn more lately. Dogs and their owners just leaving them there. And they think that if it's loose, that you can just leave it, because that's like, oh, what are we going to do about it? Here's what you're going to do about it. Get it off my lawn. How about that?
I
mean, as long as you make an effort. If you're down there in the trenches trying to pull it together, no one can get mad at you. Liz was walking him once when he had diarrhea, and someone walked by and was like, oh, do you need a napkin? And she was like, yeah. And they gave her like a paper towel, and she kind of wiped it up a little better. But I'm not carrying a napkin on me. I'll just do my best with it. But I always...
Were you
always
happy because when you saw it, you like would... You know you could talk about it on JRVP, that it's been like a month since you've talked about, you know, Rummy's stool.
Yeah, I was real happy, Greg. I was psyched because I never have anything to talk about unless Rummy has diarrhea. But it was easy to clean up upstairs. I felt bad for him, but it goes to show you how far he's come. That I'm like, I can't remember the last time he did this upstairs, but it's been months. Otherwise, my favorite part of Pride this weekend was reading the story about the 31 Patriot Front members who got pulled over in a U-Haul in Idaho on their way to a Pride parade. Like, I didn't realize that white supremacists were going after Pride too. I knew they weren't like supporting the cause, but the fact that they would want to like go break up a party. It was like when Martin Luther King Day wasn't a national holiday in all 50 states, and Arizona refused, and people were like, you don't want a day off? Like, no one's against like a 3-day weekend. That being against a Pride party is hilarious to me. And the fact that they were all like wearing the same clothes, identical clothing.
Yeah, they looked like they worked at a Dick's Sporting Goods with the khakis.
Exactly. In a U-Haul. I think it would be so funny if there was a camera inside when they got pulled over. And they're just like, fuck, we're screwed. And they were getting in the U-Haul like in front of a hotel. And someone saw them and was like, this isn't right. I know this is something bad.
Also, too, Anthony, I thought of you, too, because I was like, obviously, that's not your type of joke. But like, what is more gay than 30 men like butt to front stuck together in a U-Haul, like traveling, like they're packed together, all dressed the same? Like, that is super gay.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I can't imagine how uncomfortable that was. And they were all like pumped up. Their mugshots are hilarious. I didn't do much. I just did some shows this week, but I got invited to a party, like a it's a store. It's like a popular, expensive clothing store. And they invited me and Liz to come to this party they were having. And they're like, listen, you have to wear our clothes. It's going to be all like people who like work in the company. You're one of the only customers we're inviting. I'm still unclear as to why they invited me, but it was like walking distance from my place. So I was like, we'll go. But like you and Liz both have to wear our clothing to the thing.
Did they send it to you?
No. We both owned stuff. They were like, okay. We just wore kind of what we had. And we're pretty dressed up for me. And we go to this thing. And even like being in their clothes, we still stood out so hard. Like total sore thumbs. Everyone else was in all black. We had like a little more color in us. No one talked to us. We were like the freaks at the party. And they were all like weird fashion people. And we just went in and went right to the food, sat down and ate for like an hour, mingled for like 30 seconds and got the fuck out of there. It was like, I mean, the clothes are expensive, but we felt like complete and total losers. Hmm. It was funny.
You didn't have to tell on yourself like this, though, you know.
Well, it was funny. I was happy that like fashion's kind of like comedy. And then if you know it, you kind of know certain things that you wouldn't know unless you work in it. That I was just like, this is so funny to see the other side of this. And it was free food. It was a really nice restaurant. So I enjoyed that, but I thought it was funny that we got all dressed up in this stuff. We're like, okay, this way we fit in, and then still no. Not
sad. That was my move too, though. Tonight when I got to the place, I immediately went for the prime rib and then just sat at a table and ate by myself, even though I know like 50 people there.
Yeah, Liz and I were totally by ourselves. We went up and we were like, are we allowed to eat the food? And they were like, oh yeah, you guys are the first, but you're allowed to eat it.
I was just like, if I don't eat right away, and you can't like eat a prime rib and just be like walking around or whatever. So I was like, if I don't eat this right away, it's not going to happen.
What do you mean?
But I'm glad that you're trying to get out and about. I feel like if it wasn't for Liz, you're not going to this party.
Not for a second. But what do you mean you can't eat prime rib and then walk around?
Well, it's like a party where everyone's outside. It's on a deck and they give you a plate of like prime rib. With a fork and a knife and a, you know, roll. But what are you going to be doing? Like standing up half talking to people while you're cutting into like a prime rib? No, you're going to sit inside by yourself and hope that Chad Pennington and Kurt Warner don't look at you like a weirdo while they like stand right above you.
And did they? Did they look at you like you're a weirdo?
No, they didn't pay any attention to me at all. I think they probably assumed I was like an editor, you know, just there a little late tonight.
Too bad Kurt Warner couldn't bless you. I have a big announcement for everyone, for the listeners, and for you guys. I am getting on TikTok.
Yes!
I now have at Anthony Jeselnik on TikTok, and I'm getting it on Instagram because I have to sell tour dates. And my agent was like, our agent, our boy Burke, was like, you got to get on TikTok and to sell tickets. And I was like, you're kidding, right? And he's like, no, I'm not. That's all
really?
Anyone in comedy. Everyone is just all about TikTok now.
Same with
and
music,
and that's how
too.
You sell tickets. That's how you do. Yeah, music's big. But comedy, it's like everyone is just putting clips on TikTok. And I've got, you know, three specials I can cut up and put on there. So I'm not doing it myself. You will not see any like original Anthony posts, but it'll just be clips and clips. And then
I don't know if Burke is the guy to be taking social media advice from, but I guess it makes sense. Who's going to do it for you? Is Liz going to do it?
No. I've got a team.
So it's just at Anthony Jeselnik, and you've got, it's kind of like a silhouette. Okay, 16 followers. I'm about to be number 17.
Oh, fuck. I shouldn't have told Erica.
Nice.
But yeah, I'll be selling tickets that way. I've got a couple other things that'll be coming up in October. I'll announce when the anniversary is upon us some cool things to sell that I think people might be interested in, but I'll give you more details down the line.
Are you on Instagram already or no?
No, they're still like making the account. They're getting at Anthony Jeselnik to me. You know, like that account is like no one's ever posted on it, or maybe one post, and they're just going to give it to me. I had to start a new account, and they're just going to transfer it over. But I've got the connections. I can do things. I'm like, welcome to 2014, Anthony. I don't know why I haven't been on Instagram or any of this stuff yet, but the day has come. The day has arrived. Other than that, the only thing I did this weekend, I watched the movie Pleasure. Have you guys seen that?
No.
No.
It's about a 19-year-old girl from Sweden who comes to America to become a porn star. And it's like the most unappetizing, unappealing movie like of all time. It's like 90 minutes of just like you'll never enjoy porn again. But I
like
enjoyed it.
Like super graphic?
Not really graphic. It definitely makes porn look about as fun as it probably is to make, which is not very. Mm. And just it's an interesting movie. It got really good reviews. I watched it on demand. But one of those movies you look watching like that's it, and the next day you're like still thinking about it. I enjoyed Pleasure for real. I'm truth, JRVP listeners. I enjoyed
was
the movie.
Awkward to watch.
It's not
though?
For everybody. There's a couple scenes where you like have to hide your eyes. It's just like it's not like it's like graphic sex. It's like it's just brutal. It's like you don't like this. Liz was like couldn't watch certain parts of it. I read a review afterwards where like people walked out 5 minutes in. I'm like, I know exactly where they walked out. And like they walked out again like half an hour, and I'm like, I know exactly where they walked out that time. But I still enjoyed parts of it. Not really funny. I looked for a quote to lead off this episode with, and I could not find one. But very well done. Very well acted. How about you, Greg? Anything besides that the fun party? Making eyes at Kurt Warner while you eat prem rib.
I don't know. I need to come up with like I need to just start doing things in my life to have as stories on JRVP, like how they set up, you know, things to do on reality shows, like the dwarf girl. They just kind of like set her up to go get a tattoo, and they're like, "Oh, we can't believe! Are you really really that old?"
The dwarf girl.
The like 8-year-old body.
Yeah, that was girl. Bad because just that we should Mini take her. That out because yeah, she's
Mini her. No, we're not taking it out. We're not Lizzo.
I don't think we're she not, is a dwarf technically. Things. It was yeah, just but, it was a different it's
we
different
get
thing.
It.
So it's
we get what you mean. We get it's like double head girl. You know, we all know who that is. You don't have to. We don't have to get into it.
I do like that. It's fresh in my mind because he was my son Walker was just singing it. Right before we started the show, because I was like, "Oh, I gotta go. We're gonna tape JRVP," and then he immediately broke into the JRVP, you know, he knows the song. He's listened to it on Spotify, and he's a fan.
That's great. I mean, you really nailed the song, Greg. I wish we could cut that clip out and use it in between everything that we do.
It was I knew
when
it.
You when I realized you were singing the chorus, I was like, okay, he's about to do some lyrics, and then you did not. And now
I
it's
wanted
time
to
four.
Say like 5-foot assassin, and then I was like, nope, that's Tribe Called Quest. I don't know. I would be the 5'6" assassin.
The 5'6" assassin. We'll remember that. And now it's time for, did we get any notes? Sky flying, we wild and free. One note, Liz listened to the episode this week and yelled at me for, not yell, didn't yell at me, but was like, I can't believe you told Greg that you were not going to give him half the money from JRVP. And I was like, he knows I was joking. Like, he just told me he got a new deal from the NFL. And I said that. And she's like, yeah, but you weren't joking. And I was like, well, you know, we'll see what happens down the line. And she's like, and Erica agrees with me, or Emeka agrees with me. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, Emeka sounded like she was annoyed at you for saying that. And I'm like, listen, Greg and I are cool. But we are doing this podcast an hour late tonight because of who? Greg. Who promotes the podcast? Anthony.
I sent it out on Instagram last week. I got way more followers than you for at least one more week. So eat that, you know, on Instagram stories. You're right. And I got in trouble. You got in trouble with Liz, and I got in trouble with Emeka for even bringing up this storyline and her opinion on it. So now I'm just going to get in more trouble again. I just
so have to keep
my mouth shut.
She got mad because you brought up that she didn't like it.
That I somehow positioned it wrongly, but I didn't ultimately. I understand what you're saying, and I understand what Liz is saying. I understand all parties here, and we're fine with it. You know, we're fine. Anthony, cool. I understand what Liz needs to also know, though, is like, I get it. I know he's joking and not joking. We've been through this for 20 years, this relationship with Anthony.
20 plus. We can't keep saying 20 when it's like 23.
23.
Yeah, we make it work. I've got my anniversary with Liz is coming up not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Wow.
Yeah. 1 year. 1 year.
That's real deal. That's exciting.
You love Congrats. To say that. I got invited to a wedding this weekend Liz got invited to the wedding, and I was supposed to be the plus one. And I was like, I'm not going to that. And it was a debate all week long. And now it's over. I'm not going to the wedding.
Well, why don't I have to say that? I was being genuine. I was excited.
You say it every time. Every time I mention anything about Liz, you're like, wow, it's a real deal. That's serious.
Yeah, but it is. Like, this is definitely different.
I'm just saying, this is why Greg's not getting 50% moving forward. 51-49, bro. 51-49.
That would be your move. Just so you can just stick it to me. 51-49.
Yeah, and then I just thought of it just now, and I'm like, oh, that's good. But no, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to take from you going forward. But we're going to be a 50-50 split. But I will find a way. I've already found it. I just haven't sprung the trap.
My manhood? Like, what is it that you're going to take?
I took that a long time ago. And that was, did we get any notes? Now it's time to take it down to a place that's never taken anyone's manhood, but it's full of sisterhood, filled to the gills. It's Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi is our producer, formerly of the NFL, soon to be somewhere else that I'm not allowed to tell you yet. But I know, and Greg knows, and we're just choosing not to tell you. We're leaving you out in the cold. Erica Tamposi is also our producer, a long time, and she's going to read a question.
So this is from Brandon. Longtime fan, and I've really loved hearing about your adoption of your amazing dog Rummy and your trials and tribulations with him since you've got him. I just recently got some terrible news that my dog Nugget has a malignant tumor on his small intestine. He doesn't have much time left with me, and I've been having a hard time dealing with it. I've had Nugget for 12 years, and he's been my best friend. I don't mean to be a downer or anything, and you're my favorite comedian, and your podcast gets me through life, so I was wondering how you would deal with it. Large amounts of bourbon is the only thing I've come up with yet.
I mean, this is something I think about a decent amount, more than I probably should. And even though Rummy's supposed to live 17 years, you know, so I'm like, and he's 2.5, he'll be 3 in December. So I think I've got a long time. I hope that when the time comes, I hope it's quick. I hope it's like, I take him into the vet and they're like, he's going to die. We should put him down right now. And I'll be like, okay, I'm going to listen to what you want. My mom would always take pets in and they'd be like, this animal should probably be put down. And she would flip out and they would find a way to keep it going for a couple more years. But that seems brutal. I don't want to have to do that. I don't want a car.
But it's easier to say that when it's not your animal in that situation. I think people think that, and then when they get in that situation, at least this happened, I think, with my mom and certain cats, and she believes in that. But then it's tough. Once it's your guy, Rummy, you're in the spot. Who knows? It's different. It's like real life. It's like real life where people say, oh yeah, pull the cord. Don't do it. But then when they get in that situation, they're like, no, I want to stay alive. I don't want this to mm-hmm. end.
And as I said before you interrupted me, I was describing a hypothetical that I imagine and what I would hope to do, because I've seen people keep their pets alive too long. And it just seems brutal. It's like, no, your dog doesn't have much time, but you don't know when it's going to happen. Seems worse than like, oh, my dog just died. You know, I had a friend whose dog died of a stroke. It was like right next to her and just looked up and then keeled over. And I was like, oh, that's brutal. But at least you were there. Like I heard that at the vet, it's like a lot of people can't be in the room when they put the dog down.
And it's like, and they're like, you really should. And sterile. And,
yeah, you really should go in there. Your dog needs you at this moment. You should be there for it. That I hope I would be strong enough to do that. But yeah, I had a friend on stage talk about putting a dog down, and they had a long time dog, and they were like, I had like a few months. I didn't know how long it would be until I knew the dog had to go. So we went and just gave the dog bacon every morning, as much bacon as the dog wanted every morning. And then one day the dog wouldn't eat the bacon. And he was like, okay, I know now this dog it's time. It's not enjoying life anymore. It's got to go. And I hope that I would be that wise about it. But I definitely fear it. And I know it's going to be just emotionally gutting. And I can't imagine just being for like months, just knowing your dog doesn't have much time, but knowing it's happening. Like right now, Rummy is immortal. Rummy will outlive us all. And I like pretending that's the case. You know, I can't be like Greg and just, you know, throw a picture of seaweed up and throw the body in a ditch somewhere and just be done with it.
Well, my connection, as much as I love seaweed, was short with seaweed. Plus, you know, it was in water. It was a turtle. So it's a little different. It's a little different.
Something that we did we had to put Jet's dog Bentley down last year, actually, like a year around, right around now. And he was like 19, had kidney failure, heart failure, was taking medications all the time. And sort of that same thing. He stopped eating steak. Like we'd go to the store and buy filet mignon and like cut it up and he wouldn't even eat that. So like we knew it was time. And we brought him to the vet and they were like, he's really suffering. We need to put him down. And Jet was so beside herself, has had him for 19 years. We found this place, and a lot of big cities do this. I don't know, Brandon, where you are, but we actually did a home euthanasia, which they have they're actual vets, and they come to the house, and that way the dog's not, because you know when Rummy.
I thought
goes
it was like
vet,
a home kit or something, so that's better.
No. A vet comes to the house. It's like a mobile vet. And so they're in their bed, you're in your house. It's like, I know when I bring Thor to the vet, he's instantly stressed. His heart rate, like I just the thought of putting my dog down in that environment, like you were just talking about, Anthony, is so stressful. And yeah, it was like way more money than it would have been at the vet. But like Bentley was comfortable laying in his bed and he just like went to sleep, like essentially in Jet's arms. And like, it's super dark, but it was also like a way more comfortable environment for him, we think.
I already have home euthanasia for Rummy. It's called the balcony.
My favorite part of Erica's story was Anthony trying to keep himself from laughing over the joke he was just about to say.
Yeah. I can see him smiling.
Yeah, home euthanasia seems
if you,
brutal.
If you have a dog, by the way, and you can't be in the room with him at the vet because it's like too hard for you, I don't know. I will be judgmental. Like, you're done.
No,
you shouldn't
be let people in for like COVID and stuff.
You
too.
Shouldn't. That's different. But you shouldn't be a dog owner then. It's like if you're going to do the whole thing where you're like treating your dog kind of like a person for in some ridiculous ways, you got to do it at least in the human way, which you should be doing with your animal anyways. You wouldn't be like, oh, sorry, mom, like I'll see you later, like this is too much for me, I gotta be in the next room. Actually, some people I guess are like that, but don't be one of those people.
Wait, did you putting your mom down at the end? You switched over from the dog to your mom?
Well, what I mean is some people don't want to be with their loved one, like it's too hard for them. Maybe those aren't people that you had the greatest relationships with or not, but it's like being there is the whole point, that or else like what are you doing as a dog owner?
For sure.
I can't wait to be there when my mom dies.
Stop. That's not what I mean, but it is what I mean. You should be there. You should
be right behind you. I'll be right behind you, mom. Yeah, I'm sorry. I think a lot of bourbon is the way to go. Just make sure you do all the things your dog liked. One thing I read is or saw, don't take your dog to the groomer before you put it down. A lot of people will do that, like one last grooming. So they go, they're all like clean when they go. Like, they're like, don't do that. you're, grooming is a hard process on a dog that you don't want to put it through that when it's kind of weak and not feeling well. So don't do that. Give it a bath yourself if you want to, but be easy on it. And just be nice. I remember there was one guy, it was like pictures of a dude who would like take his dog into the ocean. It had arthritis and it was like not doing well, it was about to die. And he would take it to the ocean every day and just like let it float on its back. And he would pet it and just lay there in the ocean. Mm. I was like, that's a great way to kind of send your dog off, is just making sure it's comfortable. Don't force your dog through anything because you don't want to part with them. When your dog's upset and it's time to go, let the old boy go and then get drunk. Get very, very drunk and then get a puppy. It's a circle.
I thought that ocean story was going to be like, you know, that book, Kate Chopin, you know, The Awakening, which just like walks straight into the ocean. Spoiler alert.
Whoa!
I don't know the book, but it sounds great.
It's a big ending. Don't you think this is a little separate? But you're, because of social media, I feel like someone's animal is always dying, and I totally empathize with that. It's similar to how there's always like celebrities dying too, but this is a little different because you have that you see about on social media. But this is different because you have like a connection with that person, and it's just like. It's dealing with a lot of, I feel like we're having to deal with a lot of like pet death that we wouldn't have had to confront in our lives before. I feel like someone's heart is like always getting broken by a dog or pet being killed or being put down on social media.
Oh yeah. My TikTok turned into like dead dog porn where it's like some dog playing and they're like, hug your dog. We miss you. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why did you trick me into watching this? Like, why did you make a TikTok about your dog who died? Like never, like
mine isn't like that.
He had a rough time playing with his other dog, and now we miss him so much. I'm like, why? Why'd you do this? We don't need it. And that was Erica's Corner. Shine on, you crazy diamond.
Good luck, Brandon.
And now it's time for
ad copy.
Like I have a major regret about one aspect of this show. Can you guess what it is? By the way.
Hiring Erica?
when I tried to sing the song, I just wish I could have.
Singing? It sounded like whatever you just said was. It was just mumbled along. It was fine. You're earning your 50.
It was just pathetic. I am really excited about Father's Day weekend. You know, it's my time. It's my time coming up. It's my time. It's Tom Rosenthal's time. And that's why I'm going to get a Manscaped for Father's Day. It's designed with fathers in mind, and the Performance Package 4.0 is here just in time for your pops' special day. Inside the package...
Give your dad a Manscaped 4.0 for Father's Day, film him, and then send it to us. We will play it on the air in its entirety. If it takes 5 hours, we're going to play that 5 hours.
What's the address that we're going to send it to, Erica?
jrvpjuniorvicepresident@gmail.com.
Okay, so dad. Manscaped, your promotion is going beyond Father's Day. Inside the package, you'll get the 4.0 trimmer. You'll get the Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer. Look, as you get older, that's more and more important. I need that ear and nose hair trimmer. You got the Crop Preserver ball deodorant. You got the Reviver toner. You got the Boxer Briefs.
If you have to put your dog down, take it to the vet. Give it a Manscaped 4.0 right before you give it the shot, and we will play it live on the air.
It's such a dad move to use the same trimmer for your body and your face. That's disgusting. Throw it out the window. Give him the upgrade he deserves. And give him those brand new boxers 2.0 that might be the best boxers ever. Comfortable, packed with revolutionary features, including the jewel pouch. He might be your dad, but he's still got those jewels designed to cradle his boys in their own special space.
Not my dad.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code JRVP at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code JRVP. Shake what your mama gave you. Nah, shake what your daddy gave you.
I'm picturing Tom.
that's in the call to action required. So I could not edit and it. I did not edit. You know what? What's good to package with your Manscaped? Little Roman.
I'm excited for this one.
Little Roman T support.
Get high. Don't be a low T soy boy. Okay? You want to get woke? Turn this podcast off right now and go get some Roman. We want high T counts. High T counts on the JRVP podcast. You woke soy boy.
So I was like, what is the tea count? It's about keeping your testosterone health.
It's about not listening to the mainstream media, not believing everything you're told and spoon-fed by Obama.
Testosterone is believed to affect everything from our libido to our blood health. Thankfully, Roman's testosterone support supplements were designed by real doctors to make sure your body is maintaining its greatness. Testosterone can also help with fitness, men's fitness and health, from sex drive, muscle, bone mass.
Shout out Frank Thomas.
Yeah, all designed by real doctors. And just generally, like, we want to protect our listeners. We want them to stay as healthy and as young as possible. And this is how you do it. Testosterone levels deplete with age. No one tells you about that, but I am. We're getting old. We're losing that testosterone, Anthony. That's where you jumped in. They've got a lot of facts here, I got to admit.
Read them all. Read them all, soy boy.
I mean, T-Support includes a blend of 6 nutrients, including magnesium, vitamin D3, zinc. All of these have different attributes that really help you. Muscle development, bone health. It's not a testosterone replacement therapy, and it's not meant to treat people with testosterone deficiency. It's more like something to improve and prevent any loss over time. Go to GetRoman.com/JRVP today. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of Roman Tea Support. That's GetRoman.com/JRVP. Go to GetRoman.com/JRVP.
Nice.
And that was...
ad copy.
I mean, this guy gets on me for putting the podcast an hour later, and he's going up and cutting limes. I don't know what's going on over there.
And that was
ad copy.
What's our first headline?
Is this all right, Anthony? I know you don't like it when I step on your listener of the week announcement, but I know who my elephant of the week is, and it's a beast with a bad attitude in India who killed a 70-year-old woman by trampling her. I see you, elephant, and then attacked the same woman's corpse at her funeral. That's what I'm talking about.
I love this. I did not read the story. I saw the headline and was like, oh fuck yeah, we've been sent this a million times this week. Thank you. But I saw it right away and sent it off over the weekend. I was just home. Was like, I know Erica's busy at Pride, but I'm sending this to her now. So did the woman do something, or was it she just attacked? Was she trying to fuck with the elephant in any way, or was she like in its habitat, or she was just walking? This elephant came out and stomped her.
No, she was like getting water, and the elephant had escaped from a nearby sanctuary.
Okay, it escaped and just attacked and killed this woman. And then they just didn't capture it.
She was 70 years old. I mean, it was in India. I don't know how rural, but it sounded like she was getting water, like in a bucket. So it was that sort of situation. And they did the last rites and were handling her body very quickly. It was the same day. It was like that night. And so they were doing the ceremony that night with her body, and the elephant came back out of nowhere, trampled their dead body, threw it, and fled.
So funny. So listen, the death is not funny. We don't talk about people getting stumped by elephants. It happens a lot, I assume. But to come back during the funeral out of nowhere, like burst through the trees, is very funny. Is very, very funny. Even the people at the funeral must have been like, okay, this elephant's crazy. Sorry Helen had to go like this, but I'm so glad I came to this funeral. I almost didn't come to this funeral. I almost went to a different funeral today for someone who got killed by a different wild animal. But I'm glad I came to this one, because when the elephant grabbed it with its trunk and stomped it again, just for good measure, it's like a drunk getting thrown out of a bar. Be like, I'm coming back in. I'm coming back in swinging. And then I can't believe they didn't catch the elephant after it killed her the first time.
I mean, it's an elephant. I don't know how easy it is to catch. It had escaped the wildlife sanctuary. It clearly had something out for this woman.
Oh yeah, I mean, this elephant was pissed. That scene of the crime shit where he was just like, you know, I know she's dead, but I got something to prove. I got to let her know that I'm still mad. I mean, imagine being at the funeral. Like, Greg, okay, you and I are at the funeral. Okay. We're friends of Helen's. We're at the funeral. We're like, God, crazy day. I'm gonna miss Helen a lot. Did you hear how she died?
I'm so heartbroken. I mean, there's no good way to die, but just to think of how scared Helen must have been when the elephant emerged.
I know. From the trees. Nothing more terrifying than an elephant. Oh my God! Oh my God, from the top rope!
Again, no!
He's got a corpse. Oh, we're gonna have to do this again tomorrow. Somebody build a fence. We gotta do something. Let's do an indoor funeral. Because this is pretty disrespectful. This is nuts. Imagine all the other animals, like people who die from animals, if the animal came back. This has got to be unprecedented, right? For like, I heard once about a lion. A hunter tried to kill a lion, shot it, but didn't kill it. And the lion found the guy's house and waited outside the guy's house. And the guy came home like weeks later after the lion like recovered. And then the lion killed him. Like, they're vengeful.
What?
Yeah. But that's like, that's the guy shot the lion. Google it. It's something I read online. This elephant just went up and killed this woman for no reason. He was like, that's my water. Get that fucking bucket out of here, Helen. But then to come back at the funeral is top notch. Top notch debauchery.
If you were there and you saw her, I mean, it would be very traumatic, obviously. But you also, wouldn't you kind of be like looking around to see if like there's like some candid cameras or like you're getting punked, because like it's like I don't know if punked is crossed over to India, but it's just like just seeing that, you would just be like, what are the odds on this? Come on, like this does not feel real.
Like, what is this, Wild Boys? What's going on? If they had played like the Yakety Sax song, I mean, it's someone had to have laughed. I know it's horrifying. You're afraid, is the elephant coming after me? Like, no, it's just going after Helen again. Someone had to have laughed a little bit. Maybe not until they got home that night, but this is across the board funny. We're not talking out of school here. It's a good one.
I think at first I was wondering, like, how do they know it's the same elephant? But I guess...
It's got to be. The idea that two different elephants have it out for Helen is nuts.
I guess there's not usually elephants just kind of roaming around, and there was one that had just gotten out of this wildlife sanctuary. So they're like, yep, that was the elephant.
Yeah, I mean, how many loose elephants Helen. They got running around? I mean, my idea of India is limited in scope. So this is about what I expect. Even though, this could have happened anywhere, but it happened in India. It's great. That's a great funeral story. Like, wait a day. Wait, make sure the elephant's gone before you have the funeral. That's my two cents. That's just me. What do I know?
If any listeners from India, you know, want to chime in and let us know. I don't know if we have a big Indian listenership.
We better. Or I'm sending the fucking elephant. Come to your goddamn funeral.
All right, so Vladimir Putin, not a fan, but I'm reconsidering, though, after the news that his bodyguards collect his poop when he travels abroad before returning to Russia with that poop in a suitcase.
Love this again, too. Because I would think, like, I assume this is because, like, he's not well, and they don't want people, like, taking his poop and finding out what's wrong with him. You know,
that's exactly right.
But I wonder if this was his idea. He was like, hey, guys, I know you're busy protecting me, but I got another job for you. Of course, Mr. Putin, what is your job? And he's like, I want you to pick up my poop and put it in the suitcase and carry it around and take it back to Mother Russia. Like, it's he must enjoy it in some way. Like, I wonder if he tries to eat like extra weird shit just to mess with the bodyguards. Like, if he's not eating his fiber on purpose, and he's just like, oops. Like, I mean, he's not allowed to flush. Does he poop in certain places? Like, give me the details, Greg. What do you know?
That part of it, yeah, obviously it's very secret. But there's a video, and this tweet really cracked me up. Like, he was in France, and the BBC was taking a video. And they were, like, aware, too, of, like, how that bathroom was set up. And they knew there was just like one room. There was like no room to hide. And they watched six security men go into the bathroom with Entourage, all, you know, and then one of them exit with a small briefcase. So it's been like a story for 3 years that people have been like trying to report out, and then finally like one of his ex security person admitted it, and they did some reporting on that. But yeah, he's been doing it for a year, and they're like he doesn't want them to like take his DNA to figure out what's wrong with him, but it's been going on for a year. The part that was a little confusing to me is they made it sound like, yeah, he poops like, I don't know, into like some sort of container, like almost like a bag. I don't know. Someone must have to put it over the toilet, and then I don't know. Or do they scoop it out? I mean, what if it's loose?
It must be a bag situation that he goes into, and he doesn't leave the country that often. You know, I mean, in the past couple of years, he's done it a few times, but they must fucking dread this shit, literally. And I don't understand why they don't just destroy it, like light it on fire if you need to, but to take it back home seems crazy. Like, is there who collects it when they come back? He's like, thank you for all of this. I want to put it with the rest.
Maybe they plant it. I don't know. They like use it as fertilizer, or people drink it to try to become like Putin. Like he's done it for years.
You think people drink it to try to become like Putin? I want the same disease as he has.
I think him like encouraging his security people to like make a smoothie out of it or something is just as sane as having them pack it in the suitcase to bring it back over. That's the part that's insane. I mean, it's all insane. But the whole like trying to destroy it or get rid of it in some way or not wanting people to take it, I can buy that. Actually, Macron, the French president, was recently somewhere, I forget, and he wouldn't take a COVID test there for similar reasons. He didn't want them like testing his DNA and like finding out stuff from it. And like, that's crazy. But actually like making them buckle up the suitcase and like come home to Russia from a trip with like six suitcases full of shit is totally insane.
I mean, six suitcases is a lot of shit. I'm sure they're just like, hey, maybe don't drink coffee this morning, Vladimir, Mr. President. I think like it reminds me of that episode of Sopranos where they go visit Italy and that female mob boss like clips her nails and then has them burned because she doesn't want someone like putting a curse on her. Like, I think I saw a movie where they were trying to do like a DNA specific like poison that would only affect that one person. You could go in a room and blow it up. Maybe I think it was the newest James Bond, where it would just be for that person. So it would be a good way to assassinate someone, is getting their DNA and making something specific to them. That I think in national security, you got to do it. But to take it home, to take it all back is hilarious. I mean, that's got to be low man on the totem pole kind of job. You know, it's right. They're not giving that like to the guy with seniority.
Six guys went into the bathroom with him. That's still low man. But being the one that walks out with the suitcase, that's not
there.
Just
six people staring at you on the back.
Right, that's the part that I'm a little confused about.
Like, he's like, face the wall.
Did they handcuff the suitcase to the wrist?
No, he was just like walking out with a normal suitcase. Apparently, yeah, he's done it for years, but lately he, you know, the reports are, and it seems pretty clear that he's been sick and he's missed a bunch of events, and like he did this address where he was like gripping the table that he was at like very hard. Like, he just doesn't seem well, and it always kind of cracks me up, and this has happened in North Korea. There's something funny about like when dictators are sick or have physical problems and just like have to do everything possible to prevent the public from like knowing it. There's some comedy there. There's something to that.
Sounds like a Woody Allen movie. I think it would be a fun movie would be someone misplacing the suitcase at the airport and accidentally grabbing the suitcase full of Vladimir Putin shit. And hijinks ensue. Hijinks ensue is the name of the movie. Mm-hmm.
That it's could a movie be, yeah.
Printed.
Seth Rogen. I feel like it would be like a buddy comedy type of movie. Like, yeah, you end up with his shit and then you get caught in a whole worldwide controversy.
My suitcase is full of shit. That's your trailer.
They in 2016, a former Soviet agent said that he discovered evidence that Joseph Stalin used to spy on Chairman Mao of China and other top officials by analyzing their excrement. So the Soviets, this is why that they're so paranoid about someone checking out his shit, that they know that that was their old move. They used to just like wait till someone visited Moscow and then start examining their shit.
And that's like before there was science. So he was just like playing with it in his hands, just like a lot of corn, lots of corn. I know what to do. You're like Joseph. Hey, Joey, put down the shit and wash your hands. It's go time.
British spies also famously sifted through soiled toilet paper used by Soviet troops in East Germany during the Cold War, because they were using war stuff as like toilet paper, and then they were trying to like find evidence of it, you know, find some stuff in it.
Greg's not reading this, by the way. Greg, this is all like Greg's memorized this for years, and he's been waiting to talk about it in the podcast, and he's just like excited to get it all out. We would have moved on 10 minutes ago, but Greg's got facts on facts on facts. He's going back through history all the way. You know, Jesus Christ used to go through latrines and find prostitute shit and then bring them back to life through their feces.
Well, this is why we need to be in the same room, you know, and we're hoping maybe the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project,
JRVP,
Junior Vice President,
we'll be back together, you know, in the same room at some point. We've been remote for the most part since COVID, because that 1 second delay is what killed us. Because then when I looked up and I saw Anthony clearly wanted to move on, was making the universal sign for go to the music, which is a chop in the air. But it was too late. By then I had started into my whole toilet paper thing, which just wasn't worth it.
Nope. I think it's a baller move that'll make people pick up your shit and take it back home. Like, I'm too big a star. You got to pick up my shit and take it back. Otherwise, they'll go through it. People will go through my shit. That's alpha. That's alpha shit. High T count, Vladimir. Don't let them get your shit. Come on, we are united. Everybody's invited.
We are united. Everybody. Come on. The Mississippi Court of Appeals has upheld a $5.2 million judgment against Geico after a woman claimed she unwittingly caught a sexually transmitted disease from her former romantic partner in his car. Catching HPV, so easy, a cavewoman could do it.
Is that your own joke, or was that in the article?
That was me. That was me.
You should see how proud Greg is. We got to get the video so you can see how proud.
It's the opposite of pride.
You were thrilled. I don't understand this at all. This is like, I can't believe that she won the case, because this is like what people say, like back in the day before science, women would get pregnant and be like, I must have gotten pregnant in the swimming pool. Like, that's how it happened. I didn't have sex, and people would believe them, or the parents would, because they were like in the South. But to say you got an STD from a car, what was her evidence that she got away with this?
Well, I mean,
like, I didn't get it from my boyfriend. I got it from his car.
I mean, she wasn't saying that she got the STD from the car. She got the STD from the boyfriend, but she had sex in the car, and that the vehicle, quote, directly caused or directly contributed to the HPV infection. It's totally confusing to me.
Was it a titane situation? Did she pull titane on the car?
I don't know what happens in titane. I need to see.
She has sex with a car. She has sex with a car, and it gets her pregnant. And I assume it could have given her HPV too. That I don't like. How? So she's not suing the boyfriend. She's suing Geico, who didn't make the car but insured the car. It wasn't like Ford Motors is putting out cars that give you HPV.
Right. The man was found liable for not disclosing his infection status, but the award was for damages and injuries to be paid by Geico, and they're appealing, of course, and it's going to go into arbitration. But the judge decided this, and you know, based on Geico's react, they seem mystified by this decision. But it's a reminder, like people are often very respectful, and well, right, but they really like respect the law and believe in the law. But like sometimes the law is stupid. You know, this I don't understand how this is possible. This is stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the lawyer was like, you know, we can actually sue the insurance company for this. But how did she even prove she got it in the car? If it's her boyfriend, weren't they having sex all over the place, or was it just strictly a car situation? Was it a Titan, is what I'm asking.
She said that she contracted it from the insured member in the automobile, which would kind of indicate that maybe they weren't having sex all the time. It was only in the car. I don't know.
That's a Titan.
It doesn't make sense to me, though. But, like, the law is very... very like fungible. It's movable. It's like if you have the better, maybe like she just had a badass lawyer, and whoever was representing Geico or that side of things just like didn't know what the hell they were doing. Geico said they never really got a fair chance at this, and they're appealing, and they think they're going to win the appeals and all this bullshit.
I wish the Geico gecko had to represent them in court. Like, you know, HPV can be gotten anywhere, not just in the car. Oh. HPV in the car. It's a Titan. That's my impression of the Geico gecko. I don't know if he's from New Zealand or where he's from.
Do you have a better slogan than catching HPV so easy a cavewoman can do it?
Do I have the most hack joke from 10 years ago? No, I do not. I don't know the Geico slogans.
But the other one would be like save 15% on... HPV, you know.
15% on HPV. There you go. Nailed it. And now it's time for...
ad copy.
Athletic Greens is such a great sponsor that they
are back. What season is it?
Week
what
after week.
Coming up?
I have some big news for you.
What?
There's updated copy. Cold and flu season apparently is over. Not in the copy anymore, and I don't
masks.
Care. Like this is how they get you. I'm keeping my third eye open. Cold and flu season lasts all year long, and you know what's going to stop me from getting sick?
Your third eye is your butthole. That's what I call my third eye.
So what is Athletic Greens? It's one delicious scoop. Every morning, you're absorbing all these different vitamins and minerals and superfoods, probiotics. It's everything that you need to start your day, your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, aging. All the ingredients help. You drink it every morning. We do it here in the Rosenthal house. Erica does it as well. Tastes great. You just kind of mix it up and you have it. And it doesn't need to be cold in flu season. People are getting colds all the time, especially this year, it seems like. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. Professional athletes love to use it, and it's cheap. It costs you less than $3 a day. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. Just one scoop of water, one scoop in a cup of water every day. No need for a million different pills and supplements. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you one free year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/JRVP. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/JRVP to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. I saw there was new copy, and first thing I did was go to see if it was cold and flu season. It's not. Black Buffalo. What is it? There's alternatives to everything these days, like meat, you know, whatever you want. There's an alternative to, but where are the high quality tobacco alternatives? Where are they?
Anthony, I can't find one.
No,
it's in Black Buffalo.
Black Buffalo. If you're 21 and over and you dip or chew tobacco, you got to try the alternative Black Buffalo. What makes it unique is it has everything you love about dipping, including the pharmaceutical grade nicotine, but without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. It's made of edible green leaves, food grade ingredients with the same flavors, texture, aroma, pack, and nicotine as traditional tobacco products. All sorts of different flavors, wintergreen, mint. What was your flavor when you chew?
When I was like a kid, it was wintergreen. That's what everyone did, and then mint later on.
Okay, so you got
to make people think that I didn't do it.
A variety of options. You can get peach, blood orange. You can just go straight. You buy it at blackbuffalo.com. You can get long cut You can get pouches. You also have a nicotine-free option. That sounds great, called Zero. They have a subscription offer. So you can just set the subscription and they'll send it to you however much you want it. It was made in the USA, born in the Midwest, raised in the South, just like all the best people in this country. It's 2022. If you're still dipping traditional tobacco or those white portion things, what are you doing? If so, and you're 21.
It's cold and flu season.
It's time to get with Black Buffalo. It's everything you love about dipping without the actual tobacco leaf or stem. Head to blackbuffalo.com. Use the promo code JRVP at checkout for 25% off your first order. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use the code JRVP for 25% off your first order. One last time, promo code JRVP for 25% off your order. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
And that was
ad copy.
Let's get back to headlines.
We love it. Take it to the top, never gonna stop, on a roll. Take it to the limit, can't lose, not possible.
Whoa. I like to think the guys in the U-Haul were listening to that song.
Our next story comes from baseball, where Angels manager Joe Maddon had a fun idea to help his team break out of their 12-game losing streak. Let's let ESPN's Tim Kirkjian explain.
After consecutive loss number 12, Maddon got a mohawk haircut to try to awaken his team. But the players never saw it. He was fired.
So funny. So funny. I mean, I'm sure he was like, okay, we've lost 12 games in a row. We've got an insane payroll. I'm on the chopping block. Everyone's talking about me getting fired. I know what I can do. I'm going to get this mohawk. The players are going to see me and they're going to be so fucking fired up when they see an old man with a mohawk. It's going to be funny. They're going to laugh. It's going to loosen everyone up and we're going to go out and win 12 in a row. And then he was like, they were like, they want to, management wants to talk to you. And he was like, well, they can't fire me. I just shaved this mohawk in my hair. And they were like, you're fired. Firing, if someone like, it's like when a guy gets like a tattoo of the team and then they trade him or they cut him. It's like, we don't give a shit. It makes me want to cut you more. They probably wouldn't have fired him if he hadn't gotten the mohawk. I like to think like the owners of the Angels are just like really like conservative and uptight. And they saw the mohawk and fired him just for that. We're like, fuck you. Walk back to your car. No, you don't get to go collect a hat. Give me the hat and walk to your car in shame. It's hilarious.
Like, I don't know how you fire a manager. Joe Maddon, look, he won a World Series with the Cubs. You know, so he's been around a long time, was with the Rays. I would assume that's a one-on-one conversation with the owner in person. I don't think that's on the phone. It's not a text. It's not having someone else do it for you. Like, you're going to have the respect to have that guy come into your office. So I am just imagining the moment when Joe Maddon walks into the office and the owner, his name's Artie Moreno, just like looks at him. Like, what is the owner's reaction in that moment?
He's either like, I can't believe I got to fire this guy after he got this mohawk, or I can't wait to fire this dumb fucking idiot. with the stupid mohawk.
I think he's embarrassed. I think he's embarrassed for Joe Maddon. It's an embarrassing moment. It's like the toughest moment possible. And I think Joe Maddon walks in the door and the owner is like, oh, this fucking shitbag just got a mohawk. I'm going to send him out of here fired with this fucking mohawk. How embarrassing. It's
I guarantee Maddon walked in the office or saw him with a big smile on his face. When you get a mohawk, you're smiling for at least 24 hours because everyone you see, you're just like, can you believe I have this mohawk? And he's thinking, maybe I get fired, but probably he won't fire me because of the mohawk. I wonder if the owner had been like, why didn't you do that, you know, 6 games ago? You would have kept your job. Because everyone knows if you get a mohawk, your team's going to respond.
Right. How long do you think he kept it? Because like that little clip from the news, from Tim Kirkjian and ESPN, there was something funny about it, just like in Tim Kirkjian's voice, everything's funnier. And it was like this swelling music in the background. But he pointed out like the players never saw it. So there was a very short shelf life between like when the mohawk happened, probably got it done like in the clubhouse early in the morning. Then he gets called in. Like, how long do you keep the mohawk at that point? Because everyone now knows, because later that night it's on ESPN that you got the mohawk.
I'm sure he wasn't thinking about that. I'm sure he was just like, do I look good in this mohawk? Does like 70-year-old Joe Maddon look good wearing a mohawk? Or does he just shave the rest of it right there? Did he leave the building without shaving it first?
That's what I mean. It's a story. I don't think so. I think he must have left. He must have been stunned. What do? Go back to the team barber in the place and be like, oh, can you shave this down? No, you're just getting out of there.
I bet he had time to collect his things and they let him cut his hair before he left. They must have. But I bet he sent pictures to the team to be like, just in case you guys need a reason to play tonight. Check this out.
I would think the owner would have to like reconsider firing him because it's just like too embarrassing. Give him a couple days, or like at least maybe he asked him to make himself respectable.
They must have told someone that they were going to be the interim before they fired him, because he wouldn't have pulled the trigger. He would have waited a day maybe. But what if he wins the next game with the Mohawk and then the whole team has Mohawks? You're screwed. If I were Joe Maddon though and I got fired after shaving a Mohawk, I would have taken a picture of the Mohawk while I'm buck ass naked, full erection, and sent it to the entire team and the media and been like, let's go win one for Joe.
They were all like the stars on the team were happy he was fired. So I don't know if the Mohawk would have worked. They did try another strategy to try to end the streak. I don't know if it was that same night. I'm not sure if you heard about this, but they decided for their warm-up song. You know how each player picks like an individual warm-up song as they go up to the plate? For every Angel that night, they thought it would be fun to try to end the streak. They played Nickelback for every single Angels player.
And that didn't work. Unbelievable.
It didn't work. They lost anyways.
And Madden's in the dugout being like, I know, I've got it. If Nickelback doesn't work, I've got something in my back pocket that's going to turn this all around. Hey, how about not having a six-pitcher rotation, you fucking noobs? You fucking dorks. Whoa. Yeah.
Anthony with some like deep strategy Angels criticism.
They've got two of the best players in baseball. They've got two all-time greats in Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, and they've been terrible for a decade. It's unbelievable. I don't know much about outside the Pirates or the Dodgers, but I know that everyone in baseball knows that they have.
Well, you don't want Ohtani to have to pitch too much, so that maybe makes sense. We went down to Anaheim one game just because Emeka and wanted to see Shohei, and he delivered with a home run. He knew we were there.
I thought about buying the T-shirt jersey of Ohtani because I think he's an incredible player. I wouldn't get a Trout. He seems like kind of a dork in a good way. I would wish he was on my team, but I wouldn't like rep him. But I can't. I can't rep the Angels. Not in L.A. Like maybe I could. I can't rep the Dodgers because of the Pirates in the same league. But the Angels is something kind of corny about them that I can't. I can't do it. But I do love Ohtani. I'd love to see him play.
There it is. It's sort of a generic. It's a generic team. It's a generic stadium. I would be very supportive of my kids becoming Dodgers fans. It seems like it sort of makes sense. Like a baseball team should be the team in your actual town. But since I never watched baseball, they never watched baseball, and now they're just not fans. Walker loves playing it, but you do realize that your kids end up just like, they're going to end up liking what you like. As a kid, you don't have that much choice.
Either what you like or the opposite of it. But hey, Joe Maddon, take your Mohawks and your Mighty Ducks and get the fuck out of Anaheim of Los Angeles. Your third eye is your butthole. I love this.
Finally, a story.
This doesn't fit with the rest of them, but I love it.
I mean, I don't know what would fit with the rest of them exactly, but this was one of those that like I had to check and from multiple news sources because I didn't think it was true. It just seemed unbelievable. But that there was multiple local news reports leading the local Alabama news with the story that a judge found a man guilty of criminal littering after leaving flowers on his fiance's grave.
Okay, let me explain this one. Because I had to look into it because I'm like, I didn't understand the headline. Sometimes Erica types these out and you're like, she leaves out words and you're like, what the fuck? I don't believe this. But he got arrested for littering, not vandalism. But it's one of those, he was engaged to a girl. Her parents hated him. Her dad hated him, didn't approve of it. She died, unrelated to the guy, just died in a car accident or something like a month before their wedding. And she's buried, and it's one of those graveyards where the tombstone is like in the ground. It's like it's a flat stone that says her name on it, and she doesn't want. You can like people go to a grave and they put flowers down in front of the grave, and then eventually the groundskeeper comes and takes all that shit away. They don't just like let them sit there. But this guy, the fiance, claims that she did not like cut flowers. She like felt bad that they were going to die. She liked living flowers. So he made a flower box, like a wooden flower box with flowers growing out of it, and then put it like on top of her like headstone. We're like above the headstone.
Handmade. With their photo too. They had he like
with photo, photos.
It almost
looked
like a little art project.
Just to kind of taunt the dad, like, ha ha, your dead daughter's mine.
That's not what it was. You think it was to taunt the dad? I feel like you're reading
into this. I think he knows he's poking the bear. Because she doesn't need to see the picture. You know what I mean? Like, I get like leaving flowers, but if you're gonna leave something with like the picture on it, you know the dad's gonna press charges and have you arrested. Not just like here's a ticket for littering, but like have the cops come to your house and arrest you and see you in court. Like the dad's there in court. He hates this fucking guy. He wants to make his life miserable. And the guy's taunting him by continuing to leave flower boxes. He left like four or five. And the dad
would
throw
them away. Are you putting like two and two together?
It.
I think, first of all, I agree with you. I think all of your instincts are right. But this idea you have that the dad hates the guy is us just putting two and two together. And I think
they
you're
said
absolutely
they had,
right.
they had a weird, like, he didn't say the dad hated him, but like the dad did not like, he didn't approve. So okay, it's like, it's already, he's kind of, he's behind the eight ball. So when he's doing this, he knows the dad's going to get pissed off. He's going to see these pictures and get mad. And he's done like four, he got arrested for the fourth time he did it.
He kept getting warned. He kept leaving flowers and they were mad. And my guess would be the dad, you know, it's like a small town in Alabama. He's got some pull with the judges or the police who are arresting this guy. And he got his friends to do his bidding for him after they kept leaving it. I'm sure they were like, come on, man. Do I really need to arrest this guy for leaving flowers at his
But leaving
fiance's
a flower
grave?
Box. It's not the flowers. It's the flower box with the pictures and all that shit that he's got to pick up and throw away, or the guard does. That it is technically littering. And they gave him like the smallest fine they could give him. He had to pay court fees or whatever.
You sound like you're on the side of the dad.
No, I think this is why it's interesting. This is why it's interesting. But I'm definitely not on anyone's side here. I don't think this bitch deserves any flowers. Okay? She didn't even get married. She just because she said yes to a ring and then died. But I think it's funny to taunt the dad with these flower boxes with the picture on it of them like hugging real tight. And like, who's that for if not the dad? It's just to make the dad
angry. It's
for
the guy who's grieving for his fiance.
He doesn't have the pictures at home. He's putting them in a flower box and putting them down to make the dad angry. That's all that's happening. Is making
no,
the dad mad.
I'm on team guy. I'm on team fiance. First of all, she made her choice.
That's what he's doing.
She made her choice. If her dad didn't like this guy, she made her choice. That's who she loved. That's who she was with at the end of his life. He's grieving. Okay, it wouldn't be fun to lose your daughter either. But this is his fiance. He was expecting like to spend the rest of his life with her. And this is how he wants to grieve, by leaving a nice handmade flower box.
Can the woman who died see the pictures on the flower box?
No, but can they see the flowers? I mean, can
the
they
dad,
do anything? I mean,
can
that,
the dad. It's for the dad. The pictures are to poke the dad. The dad's been being a dick ever since she died. Probably they got in a fight at the funeral. I'm guessing here. But he's doing it to make the dad angry. And the dad fought back. There's no other way the guy would have them arrested for littering. Unless it was like he'd show up every time. I bet he yelled at him about the flower box. He threw it away. He was like, stop doing that. Just leave flowers if you want. But stop these pictures and these ornate flower boxes. And the next day, I guarantee there was a flower box there with even more pictures. Of them, like, probably boning. I'm guessing here we're probably boning in the pictures on the flower box, and the dad snapped. I love it. I want updates on this story.
I think this is, like, how you are interpreting it, because this is how, like, you would act in either one of these roles. Either you would try to antagonize the dad, or you would hate this fiancé and call your buddy over at the courthouse and the police officer to like take away these flower boxes. But I don't think that's how most people would be. I think this guy is just, his heart is broken and his dad is just being a dick.
Now, why are you leaving flower boxes? Because your heart's broken. Why you got to make
not?
A wooden flower
you can
box?
You
it's not
do
that hard
you
to
want.
Do. It's easy to
make
do.
Yourself feel
Leave
better.
Leave flowers. Someone's got to gotta throw it better. Away. Someone's got to throw it away. That's what I'm saying. I'll tell you who the JRVP listener of the week is. It's the fiance.
Yes.
And now it's time for
Choo-choo
Recommendation Station. Greg, what do you got?
I'm going to recommend the new Adam Sandler movie on Netflix, Hustle.
Hustle?
You know, I feel like I've been going like highbrow with all these books and whatnot lately. This was a movie where I had a day on Friday where I was just like, wasn't the best day ever. I was exhausted. I just wanted something fun to watch. Heard this was good. It's a movie about Adam Sandler as like an NBA scout. It's got like half the people in the NBA like in it sort of as supporting characters, but the main character is Juancho Hernan Gomez, who's kind of been bouncing around the league. Adam Sandler is the lead in it and makes this movie go. Like, he's great in it. It's not like a slapstick comedy. It's actually like a B plus, very believable like sports movie, like a better than it should be sports movie. And it's not like breaking any new ground, but the direct, what really made it was the director that did it sort of did this art house movie that had like great reviews from 4 years ago. And the movie looks great. Like, the way that they do montages and just how he filmed it made it looks great. And it's really fun. It goes quickly. And so it's a nice light summer.
It's not fare. A typical Sandler movie, though.
No, I mean, it's somewhere between like Uncut Gems and a typical Sandler movie, where it's certainly funny in parts, but it's more of a drama.
What was the art house movie the director did 4 years ago?
I will find the name because I hadn't heard of it, but then I looked it up and it looked cool as shit and made me want to go see it. I'll find out the name for you.
Erica, what do you got while Greg's doing
that? So I just finished a book, super quick, like 290 pages, and it's called The Last Flight by Julie Clark. And I think it was like an even international bestseller at one point, and it's translations too. So it's basically about two women who basically both have separate lives. They meet at the airport and decide to switch lives. They're both like on the run from their certain situations about getting out of an abusive relationship or whatever. And they basically have already gone through security, and on a whim, they're like, you take my boarding pass, I'll take yours. And like, we're just going to disappear. And then you sort of find out some crazy kind of shit happens, and one of them is involved with basically like essentially the Kennedys type of a family situation, and she's leaving that like a really wealthy rich family, and she wants out. It was super good, really really fast read, but it was one of those like once I picked it up I couldn't put it back down.
Sounds basic as fuck. Greg, what was the movie?
The movie was called We the Animals, which came out 4 years ago. It was kind of about like a fucked up childhood. Yeah. Yeah. It was supposed to be great. And Sandler apparently like loved that movie. And this guy was from Philly. It's set in Philly. Anthony Edwards, the NBA player, is so good as sort of the villain, like NBA Goose. Player that Juancho does not like.
My recommendation this week is a book. It came out a couple weeks ago. I loved it. It's called Sleepwalk. It's like, it takes place in the near future in America. Kind of not necessarily a sci-fi book, but it's like things have gotten worse than they are now, a little bit in a believable way. And the guy's kind of a drifter, kind of a mercenary, kind of kills people, kind of cleans up murder scenes. He works for people and shit starts going crazy. He's like kind of lives off the grid, and someone finds him and says, I'm your daughter from a sperm donation you gave way back when you were like in college, before you knew you were going to get into this life. And they kind of start talking, and he's trying to kind of figure out what his life is and what he wants it to be.
But awesome. Like
a funny book, interesting book, a great lead character. And I really enjoyed it, called Sleepwalk, one word, by Dan Chaon, Chaon. I recommend it highly. And that was
Choo-choo.
Recommendation Station. Let's throw this one to Walker. Get me out of here.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado, that's a spicy meatball.